Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us. We do this each day here on the show. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Let's get right to it today. A look at the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham. Joining us after we get through some news and headlines of the day, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Segment 1, will be Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Greg will be with us in Segment 2. Greg's interview each week presented by Coffee Crossing. A lot to get to with Greg. We'll talk a lot of IU football today. We'll talk a little Archie Miller with Greg and more when he joins us. Also, later in the program, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com will stop by. We'll talk about the podcast yesterday. Archie had about a 20-minute interview in a podcast with John Rothstein that was released yesterday. He got a lot of good information. You don't always get the chance to hear many words from Archie Miller, especially in the offseason, but we got some good information on a number of topics yesterday. I'm going to cover some of those here coming up in the headlines, but we'll review that with Mike. We'll also talk IU football coming out of their win with Virginia with Mike later in the program and a couple recruiting things, I'm sure, as well. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Headline number one, Archie Miller on John Rothstein's podcast. It's a College Basketball Today podcast. John does a great job. He gets some of the best coaching guests from across the country, does the podcast each and every week. Archie Miller is a coach that you don't hear from all the time, especially in the off season. He doesn't have press conferences. There aren't a lot of speaking engagements that you might think would exist in a state that's as basketball crazy as what Indiana is. He doesn't make a lot of radio appearances. He's very quiet, very calm, very collected when you get the opportunity to hear him speak on a podcast like this or appear on a national level show. You listen because you don't know. You don't get to hear from him on a regular basis like IU fans have in the past from certain Indiana coaches and like some programs do now from their head coaches on a regular basis. So good things yesterday. A couple things that I jotted down. I listened to it twice just to kind of get some details because Archie was so informative. Deron Davis not yet cleared for full contact. He has been taking it slow, doing 60 to 70% of the workout activities that the team has went through. And most importantly, he hopes to be full strength or close thereto when practice begins on October 1. That is what Archie said about Deron Davis in the podcast with John Rothstein yesterday. Also, Evan Fitzner, he was quick to turn the attention to him when asked about newcomers and some of the incoming recruits that he thinks he's a player that right away can help Indiana, and that sure seems to be what the opinion is as well with his size, his length, and his shooting ability. Maybe the biggest and most surprising comments he made was how confident he sounded when talking about Justin Smith. He said he was, quote, much more explosive and in much better shape as well. Interesting to hear him say that. Smith had a great close to the regular season a year ago and is one of those players that I think with Romeo coming in, with some of the other recruits coming in, with Jawan Morgan coming back and expected to lead the team in a lot of categories as well. A name maybe in Justin Smith that's gotten lost a little bit. I don't think anybody's forgot about him. Everybody knows he's a talent and an athlete and a potential contributor. I think there's no question about that this season. But good to hear an update on him from Archie Miller, and it sounds like he has continued along that positive progress that he was making toward the end of last season. Biggest keys for the season, Archie touched on this word a couple times in the interview with John Rothstein, togetherness. Togetherness, the key for his team for the upcoming season. Great podcast, lots of information there. You can find it on Twitter. I'll retweet a link to it, but good stuff. And again, I guess it's one of those things when you don't hear from someone as much as what maybe you used to, as far as other coaches, Tom Crean specifically, or maybe as much as the Louisville or Kentucky fans hear from their coach in speaking engagements or press conferences or whatever the case may be. When you don't hear from somebody as often and they speak, you listen, and everything they say is very interesting and very informative because you're not hearing it anyplace else. And that's why I think there's been such a big reaction to Archie's comments yesterday talking about the team. And he did talk about Romeo. I know some of you will ask about that. He did talk about Romeo, obviously had very positive things to say about him and what he had done. He called him one of the most talented players at any age, as a freshman, as a senior, that he has ever had the opportunity as an assistant or head coach to coach thus far. So obviously no surprises there. But good stuff yesterday from Archie Miller in his College Basketball Today podcast interview with John Rothstein. Couple other headlines. Headline number two, Armand Franklin committed to Indiana last week. We had his coach on last Friday. There have been a lot of real positive reaction to his commitment, and you'll get that, especially when a player is considering Purdue, picks Indiana over Purdue, and a lot of people were surprised, even though there had been some rumors and word and the delay from his visit to the Purdue campus until he made his decision that Indiana might ultimately be able to steal him away from the Boilermakers. Armand had a great Q&A with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. I'm sure we'll talk with Alex about this some later in the week, but you got to get the InsideTheHall.com and read it. Couple takeaways from the Q&A. He said that the in-state players there, and he named Romeo, he also named Demezi Anderson, who he said he had known since he was a young kid, had a big impact on him deciding to stay in the state of Indiana and deciding to play at Indiana. That if it's good enough for Romeo and some of those guys, it's obviously good enough for him. A lot of people wondered how early, how often, how much with the Romeo commitment. And the other guys, too, Demezi Anderson, Robert Fennessy, the other in-state recruits in the 2018 class, what type of effect would they have on the next immediate class? Well, with Romeo, you wonder because he likely won't be there for more than a year to play with the 2019 class. Armand Franklin, obviously the first in the fold, but if Trace Jackson Davis comes, if Keon Brooks comes, very unlikely, unless something happens that we're not planning on, Romeo to return for another season, I think it's safe to say. But with Demezi Anderson and Robert Fennessy and Jerome Hunter and other players in the class that look to have a lot of promise moving forward, obviously there will be an attraction, especially the in-state guys where there are relationships, where they know each other, where they played against each other over their high school and AAU career. So I thought that there were a lot of comments from Armand where obviously Archie's success in 2018 made him realize that Indiana may be more of a serious option and a landing place for him than what he initially considered. Another takeaway from Alex's great Q&A with Armand Franklin is that he asked him one of the first things he did after he committed to Indiana, and he said he reached out that very day to both Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks. Obviously, there are some relationships there. Those guys have known each other, played, competed with, and against each other for a number of years. Armand, not at the ranking, the talent level, the national prominence of either of those other two players in Trace or Keon, but he's someone that's in the mix with those guys that they respect and know each other and obviously can't hurt in landing. They had some positive public comments to Armand thanking him or congratulating him, I should say, on his commitment. And so there definitely are some longstanding relationships there. But a great in-depth Q&A talks all about where Armand thinks he'll play at the next level. Will he be a combo guard at the next level? Addresses some of his goals for the upcoming high school season with Indianapolis Cathedral. Definitely a great read to learn more about Armand Franklin. It's a written interview. It's obviously transcribed and available on Alex's site. But if you know Armand Franklin, if you listen to him on our program when he first got an offer from Indiana, talking about his interest in the Hoosiers and all the schools at that time. A very well-spoken young man, so no surprise that his Q&A with Alex is absolutely fabulous. Make sure you check that out. Another headline today, Calbert Chaney. He was named recently an assistant coach in the NBA G League on the new staff in Erie. He's going to be assistant coach of the Erie BayHawks, which are the G League affiliate of the Atlanta Hawks. And our final headline of the day, Marion Lukes of Charlestown. I meant to go over this Monday. I mentioned it briefly, but he has had a monster season to begin his junior year as running back for the Pirates. Through four games, his numbers have been absolutely incredible. 1,143 yards is his total rushing yards through four games. He's averaging 285.8 yards per game, which is best among all six classes of high school football in Indiana. He's averaging 13.3 yards per carry. He's rushed for 11 touchdowns on only 86 carries this season. He's just a junior, and obviously his recruiting, I would think, will really pick up here in the coming months. We'll have an opportunity to hear from Marion Lukes. Jason Hawkins, the coach at Charlestown, on a special preview show for the Charlestown-Providence game. It's a rivalry night at Zaxby's on Highway 62 this Thursday night. 7 to 8 p.m. will be live on the radio. The event begins at 6 and runs until 9 o'clock. It's a fundraiser for both schools. You can come out and purchase dinner. Your receipt can be credited to one of those schools. The winning school gets a donation from Zaxby's at the conclusion of the night. We normally do this a handful of times through the football and basketball seasons before some of the big rivalry games, and this Charlestown-Providence game this week should be fantastic. One of the reasons is, if you haven't got to see him, you'll see Marion Lukes, whose numbers that I just mentioned are absolutely fabulous to start this season. It's going to be really interesting to see if he can keep that type of rushing yards up per game as the Pirates move through the rest of the season. The exciting thing for Coach Hawkins' team, he's got other weapons as well, but if Marion Lukes can continue to have performances like what he's had so far in the season, it gives them an opportunity against anybody, a chance to be really competitive in the postseason. It's obviously a very tough sectional where they would have to rematch against some of the conference opponents if they want to advance on to the regional round. But you got a stud like Marion Lukes, and that's what he's lining up to be for Charlestown as we sit headed into week five of the high school football season. There's no question at all, he's the player of the area to date. It's going to be really, really interesting to see what his numbers look like as the season progresses. That's the headlines presented by Hoopsters. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday nights. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. I would be remiss to open the show and not mention that it is September 11th, of course, a tragedy back on September 11th, 2001. A quote that I have always shared, I think basically every September 11th since the attacks on our country on that terrible morning, and one that I think really resonates with me. I want to share it with you before we go to commercial break. Terrorist attacks can shake the foundations of our biggest buildings, but they cannot touch the foundation of America. These acts shatter steel, but they cannot dent the steel of American resolve. That was a comment from then President George W. Bush in his address to the nation on that Tuesday night following those tremendous and awful attacks on our country. But obviously a sad day, a day that America should never forget. And let's hope and pray that a situation never happens like that again. But a day for me that really shaped what it means to be an American citizen. And that's a quote that I think rings true now more than ever after that terrible day, as we remember that September the 11th anniversary every year. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with more, including a chat with Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk IU football. Greg was at the football game over the weekend. We'll talk a little Archie Miller and more coming up after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back Tuesday edition, wow, of the Hoosier Report. Greg Doyle is with us. You know it's Tuesdays when Greg is our guest. Greg's segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off, or you can come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Greg, are you dried out yet? That's my question. You were at the IU football game Saturday night for that unbelievable weather that we had coming through the area in the Midwest, and an unbelievable situation for fans, for the players, for the coaches. I can't even imagine being out in the middle of that.
Yeah, I want to make really clear that of all the people that were in that facility that day, very few had it easier than I did, because I'm up in a press box. But even given that, so I want no sympathy at all. It was so wet, it was so bad. And I'd heard it was going to be so bad that I actually brought – I wore something I'd never wear to a game, to the game, just so I could – because I knew it would get drenched. Didn't matter how much, you know, rain jackets, umbrellas. Rain was coming sideways, and it was coming like – it was like that Forrest Gump movie where rain's coming up from your feet. It was just coming in from everywhere. So I'm drenched in the press box, and I change my clothes, and I hang my wet clothes up. The media relations folks gave me a spot to hang my wet clothes up, and – anyway, then I stupidly didn't think about bringing a third pair of clothes after I walked back to the car. So I drove back an hour home soaking wet because two pair of clothes weren't enough. You needed three on this day. But there were folks out there, you know, shooting photos and stuff, and I can't believe that. But I'll say this. My thought usually would be if you're a school trying to get some attention, trying to get some wins, trying to validate yourself, and you have your home opener is against a, you know, Power 5 school, you got to show up. That said, I am blown away that anybody showed up, and I'm impressed with anybody who did show up and stuck it out for as long as it did, because that game was terrible. And not many did. I think like 15, 20,000 may have shown up, if that, maybe 10. And by game's end, there might have – and it was a close game, but by game's end, there might have been $2,000 there. And I'm blown away they stuck around that long.
Absolutely. And, of course, we know how the night ended. Stevie Scott with an unbelievable performance for Indiana, kind of a breakthrough performance. You hear Coach Allen use that breakthrough word a lot. I'm sure that's an appropriate way to label his performance. He was obviously the star and the guy that caught a lot of the attention, and maybe we weren't expecting that on Saturday night.
Yeah, true freshman, and he got, you know, 20 carries for about 70 yards at FIU because they had injury problems elsewhere. And really, all you heard about the IU running back situation in the days leading up to the Virginia game, all you heard was, oh no, their top two backs are hurt. They were, I believe, the only school in the country last year, and this is a very humble, low bar, but I'm pretty sure, IU says this, the only school in the country last year that had two guys with 400 yards or more rushing. Maybe they're the only one with both of them back, but that sounds ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Two guys with 400 yards, and you're the only one. It shows clearly the emphasis on passing, because, you know, Oklahoma, I grew up in Norman, the Sooners, they ran the wishbone, of course, they'd have three guys at 400 yards by halftime for their first game. So the world has changed on us, and that's fine. But anyway, everybody was saying about IU's running game is, oh, no. And no one's saying that now. I mean, I don't know what he is, Stevie Scott, going forward. I looked him up, and I wrote about him that night, and I tried to figure out as much about him as I could, and near as I can tell, his 40-yard dash time, from what I saw officially, was in the 4.8 range, which just doesn't make sense to me at all. You can't trust the internet, because I didn't see that. I didn't see 4.4, but I saw him on the 40-yard touchdown run he had, break through the line of scrimmage and take off, and the guy chasing him, he outweighed that guy by 50 pounds, and that guy was a track All-American. Now, granted, he was a track All-American in the long jump and triple jump, so it wasn't a sprinter. That said, if you're explosive enough to be an All-American long jumper, triple jumper, you're probably pretty quick on a football field, and Stevie Scott pulled away from him. So I'm pretty impressed.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, your take on this IU football team. I know it's the first game you got to see in person. Hard to get maybe a true take, but not a lot of passing, primarily running, given the weather. And, of course, the week before. I know you probably got to see it, but not it live or in person. And Florida International was a dangerous team, as we discussed. But do you have a early season take on this team and what the ceiling might be and where they could go as the weeks progress?
Yeah, based on their first two games, you know, getting W's, and as Purdue showed, you can't take a W for granted against anybody. They got two W's, and they're both nice. So, you know, FIU at home wouldn't be all that nice. FIU at FIU, pretty nice. Virginia, pretty nice. Not great wins, but nice wins, and they got them. They didn't lose. They're farther along than I thought they'd be on offense. You've got to actually kind of watch them play a little bit to see physically how imposing that team is. You know, you go to Purdue and you watch Rondale, and he's just so physically imposing in a little way, but you have to watch him with your own two eyes to realize he's a video game just happening. Well, same with IU, not video game stuff, but their guys are huge. Their receivers are built like NFL players. Their tight end, Hendershot, is a retro freshman. He's built like a pro. Their offensive line is, like all of them are, is large, but they've got about 80 combined career starts coming into the season. Stevie Scott is built like Jim Brown. He doesn't run like him yet, but he's built like him. And then they got two nice quarterbacks. So, and we didn't see one of them because of the rain, I guess. So they, on offense, they're fine. I mean, they're just fine. Tom Allen is a defensive guy and needs to turn chicken bleep into chicken salad because I think that, you know, they lost a lot of guys in recruiting, graduation last year. And when you're IU, you're not Florida State or Ohio State. You don't just next man up is going to be a parade All-American also. Next man up might need some work. So their defense needs some work. But if Tom Allen is a defensive coach that we all think he is, they ought to be okay there too.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. I got to ask you, Coach Allen, after the game, I love the outburst to thank the students and the fans that did make it to the end of that wet and rainy game. But the trash can kick, man, I got to get the Greg Doyle reaction to that.
Okay, this is where I embarrass myself and tell you, tight deadline game, I didn't go down there. I've not even heard of a trash can kick. What are you talking about?
He ran over to the sideline. He jumped up to give high fives to the students he could reach hanging down over the wall. And in the middle of high fives, he took about one step to his left and kicked a trash can just randomly. I'm surprised. It was all over the what do you call it when you cut a little shot out of a video? The
GIF, kind
of
mode.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah. It was all over Twitter. I figured you would see it. So
yeah, you know, my thing with Twitter is, and you'd have to walk a mile in my shoes to understand this, Twitter's really not my friend. It doesn't do me a whole lot of good to just kind of look around Twitter and see what's going on, because I know what's going on. People are telling me I'm an idiot, so I don't need to look a whole lot. That said, you know, Tom Allen is he came up through the high school ranks, high school coach, and he's got a lot of that in him. He's very fiery, and I suspect, although maybe not, I suspect that will get toned down over the years. Maybe not. That's the kind of thing a high school coach would do, and I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean that's that kind of passion, that kind of I don't care who's watching, I'm going to dance, you know, with the lights on, I don't care. That's what high school coaches do more than college coaches. College coaches are more buttoned down and boring, to be honest with you, and that's not who he is, so I'm not surprised at all.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment presented each week by Coffee Crossing. I do want to catch a couple Archie Miller, a couple IU things on the basketball side before we let you go. And I don't know that you had a chance to hear the podcast by John Rothstein, College Basketball Today. Archie had about a 20-minute interview with him and really gave some good information. And whether you heard it or not really doesn't matter, because the question I'm going to ask, Greg, you've been around college basketball in a lot of different places, a lot of the blue blood programs covering the game, even on a national level, when you hear from a coach all the time, and I think Indiana can look at Tom Crean, whether it was on Twitter, whether it was a press conference, whether it was a speaking engagement, whether he was weighing in on a matter that you called him about to get a quote from, no matter what, you heard from Tom Crean on a regular basis about what was going on with his program and his thoughts on things. We don't get to hear from Archie Miller. There aren't many press conferences outside of the season. He doesn't do a lot of speaking engagements on a regular basis. He's not on the radio all the time outside of his coach's show during the season. So when he does take 20 minutes to spend with a guy that has a podcast on college basketball, you listen. And you listen intently because you're going to be able to pick up some things. But I guess it's a little different with Archie Miller at a program like Indiana, with fans like Indiana has that follow the recruiting all the way down. you don't hear from him as much as what maybe some coaches at other similar programs, how they're able to utilize social media or find more speaking engagements, because we all know everybody would love to have Archie Miller speak.
Yeah, I love how you're kind of setting that whole thing up, is that he's unusual, and he is unusual. He is all business. And that's what we've all kind of said about him since the day he got here, is he's all business. His team's going to be tough. They're going to be all business. It's not an act. You know, he is just like Tom Crean, him talking to everybody and anybody and weighing in on everything. That's not an act either. That's who he is. Archie, you got to be like Tom Allen. You got to be who you're going to be. You're going to go kick that trash can. You just got to – and Archie is – well, if he kicks a trash can, he'll never do it out of happiness. Never. I can see Archie kicking one out of disgust because
yes.
he's all – right? He's all business.
Yes, yes.
But he'll never be giddy and kicking a trash can. That's not what he does. I like it. Maybe I shouldn't as a media guy. Maybe I should want to hear from him more. But I like it. You know, it's kind of like the groundhog. Peek your head up when you need to and then stick it back in there until Groundhog's Day. I like it, and I like him. And furthermore, having the job that I have, you know, just the platform, coaches, they don't have a choice. They have to deal with me. And so, Tom Crean and I texted back and forth every now and then or more than that. And I could text him, and he'd respond with 5 million words. And And Archie's different, so I've probably texted him 3 times since he's been here. And every time I needed him, you know, I'm not just texting him, hey, nice day, Archie, you know, I need something, so here. He'll text me back, whatever the minimum number of letters you need to send a text, cut that in half. That's what Archie does, and it's fine, because you know that's who he is, that's what he does, and it's refreshing.
Craig Doyle, Indianapolis Star. I guess when you get time and listen to this podcast, one thing that struck me about it, I know a lot of people said, oh, well, he said this about Evan Fitzner, or he gave an update about Deron Davis's injury, and he had some really good things to say about Justin Smith and, of course, Romeo. And the motto was of the team, togetherness for this season. It, you know, interesting things for sure. But what I listened to it twice because you don't ever get to hear from him, and it was interesting to me. So I listened last night, and I listened again this morning, but One of the things that struck me about it was, and he's never been uncomfortable. You know, he's always been poised, and a lot of the things you use to describe him, down to earth, down to business, doesn't say a lot of extra words. I don't think he's ever seemed uncomfortable with, even when he was introduced as the coach. But one thing that struck me about this interview, and I'll be curious to maybe catch up on this again next week, he just seemed really comfortable. Maybe it's the fact that it's the off season, that things are just now starting to gear up. Maybe it's the fact he just got a nice commitment last week from another in-state player when this was recorded or done. I have no idea. But he just seemed extra comfortable in the job, which I guess when you've been there a full year and you're heading into year two and you've got Romeo Langford in the fold and recruiting for the next class is going well, maybe that just comes with the territory.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a Romeo effect there a little bit, I'm sure. But also, yeah, he's caught his breath is what it sounds like. And that's who he's going to be too. I mean, he's very confident, and so he's gonna come across as just he's on top of it. Until and unless something ever changes, he's gonna be just fine. And the world was spinning for him real fast when he took this job, and it was spinning fast. His wife's back in Dayton, selling a house, moving in, trying to keep a recruiting class, trying to start over, trying to learn who Romeo Langford or teach him who I am. In Archie's words there. So it was spinning, and now it slowed down, and it slowed down in a way that like he's on. Momentum is everything in this business, in this world, and you're either kind of behind it and chasing it, or you're ahead of it a little bit and coasting, and he'll never coast, but he's a little bit ahead of it. You know, getting Romeo the way he did, the recruiting he's doing, Armin Franklin from Cathedral last week, I mean, he's on top of stuff, and he's not chasing anything. He's ahead of the curve and knows it, and I think that's great.
And speaking of being ahead of the curve, the final thing I'll hit you on today, he's ahead of the curve for sure with in-state recruiting. You take Romeo and Fennessey and Demise Anderson, he kind of hit north, south, and right in the middle there. And, of course, Langford, a national-level hit for Indiana. And then Armand Franklin, he's not the stud of the 2019 class in the state, but he's up there at the top, and he sure is influential with others that very well may come to Indiana and definitely are considering Indiana. He's ahead of the curve with his inside-out approach that he preached to us that he said he was going to do when he took the job.
And that's how it should be for the IU football coach until the world changes so much that IU is no longer the flagship school in the state, and I'm not sure that will ever happen, not in my lifetime. That's how it ought to be. Certainly how it was with Bob Knight. I don't know how it was with Kelvin Sampson. He was too busy breaking rules to really care probably about inside out. Tom wasn't inside out. You know, if the state had a great player, he wanted to go get him. But by and large, he was recruiting nationally because that's what he did at Marquette. That's what he knew. This is different. Archie is saying, this state is mine. And he's trying to show that with his attention to detail and the attention he gives to players and to high school coaches. And they all appreciate it, and they all just want a reason to go to IU. That, I think most people in the state, they just want a reason to go to IU. Archie's giving them that reason.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. When you're looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, don't forget about Coffee Crossing's sister company. It's 410 Bakery and Cafe. Great coffee, great bread, and pastries, now serving breakfast and lunch at 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. Greg, thanks so much. We'll do it again next Tuesday. Always a lot of fun.
Thanks, Matt. Yes, it is. I'll talk to you then.
All righty. We'll head to a commercial break. Don't forget Thursday night. We've got a rivalry night edition, a preview show for Charlestown and Providence football. We'll do it at Zaxby's at the Highway 62 location. It's a fundraising event, so you can go that night and eat, and they'll credit it to whatever school you support. And let them know that when you go through the line. We'll be live there from 7 to 8 p.m. We'll have Marion Lukes, who I bragged all about in the first segment, about his unbelievable start to the season for Charlestown. We'll have Charlestown head coach Jason Hawkins. We'll have some other Pirate football players as well. We'll also be joined by Larry Dennison. He's going to bring through some of his players that have had great starts to this 2018 high school football season as well. Don't forget, that's Thursday night, live from 7 to 8 here on the Big X, a rivalry night edition as we get ready for week 5 of high school football. Speaking of week 5, Columbus East at New Albany this week. That obviously is a feature game that we will be covering here on the Big X. Jeffersonville at Floyd Central, that's a rivalry. That's a big Hoosier Hills Conference game. Charlestown and Providence play each other. Silver Creek in action this weekend. They host Scottsburg on Friday. Another great week of high school football coming up. And we'll be, when the games kick off, we'll be halfway, more than halfway through the regular season. And really, we're about a month away when you get through this weekend from the tournament draw, which will set the sectional pairings for high school football, which is just unbelievable. When it starts, we say it every year, it's amazing how quick the season rolls along, but it is rolling fast and we're inching closer and closer to basketball season. We don't miss football. We don't want it to rush away, but we do love basketball. That's very obvious here in this area. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Mike and I will talk more about Archie's podcast, go a little in-depth with some of the comments he made on John Rothstein's podcast yesterday. We'll talk a little IU football as well, coming up next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com with us, as always, on Tuesdays, one of our staples here on the Hoosier Report when it comes to great IU information. And, Mike, we got the opportunity yesterday. A lot of people listened to the John Rothstein podcast where he had Archie Miller as his guest. And I'll tell you what, we really hang on to, and I think I say we, fans, media, everyone following IU basketball, really hangs on to what Archie Miller says when you get the rare opportunity to hear from him, especially in the offseason, because he isn't a coach that is making a lot of radio appearances. He isn't a coach that has many press conference opportunities, especially in the offseason. So when he does appear on a national-type radio program or a podcast like John's, you really want to clue into what he has to say. And I thought we got some pretty interesting information yesterday from that podcast.
Yeah, that's why we went ahead and transcribed a lot of it. I don't think we're going to get him until Hoosier Hysteria Week, and that'll be the first time, you know, with the IU media, I think, since the Hubers deal at the end of, you know, around June 1st or end of May. And so it's quite a long time to go, and with so many new guys and so much expectations and you know, injury updates and all that, it was good to finally hear from Archie.
You know, one of the most interesting parts of the interview, and I mentioned this earlier in the program today, but one of the more interesting parts, I thought, were Archie's comments on Justin Smith. He called him more explosive. He said he was in much better shape. I guess with Romeo and Juwan and other players, not that Justin Smith gets lost in the shuffle, but it's positive to hear something like that about him, because he did have some moments last year where you thought, wow, what could this guy, what could he become as a player here at Indiana? And it sounds like his offseason has continued about how the regular season ended.
Yeah, he played really well at the end of the season, though, or last third of the year or so, and that had to be a real confidence builder for him. And I think he's toned down. You know, he played a lot. One reason, because he was big enough. A lot of freshmen just don't carry enough bulk to bang in the Big Ten. But Justin was fairly big, but he's taken that body and toned it down a little bit, which probably has increased his vertical and that explosion you're talking about.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Our guest talking about Archie Miller, some comments he made on a podcast with John Rothstein that was released yesterday. One of the other players that he did talk about individually was Deron Davis. He said he had not yet been cleared for full contact as far as activities and workouts go, but that he has been going through as much activity as he possibly can at this point. He talked about taking it slow with him, and he did mention that he hopes to be able to practice full-fledged, go all the way out 100% starting October 1st. Concerns for Deron, Mike, as we think about where he was at in his prime last season before the injury? I mean, you're off a year. You're obviously going to be out of shape. You've got to work on that aspect as well as getting back on the court as well. I think there is some reason for concern on what he may be able to add to the roster, especially early in the season.
Yeah, we were given 6 to 9 months, and given the size of his body, and all the weight that goes on to an Achilles that he ruptured, it's going to be in that 9 month kind of time frame if he does come back in October, because I think his injury was in January. Yeah, I think that he's going to take a while before his basketball instincts kind of kick back in and he really makes the right kind of quick decisions on a basketball court and really gets into shape like he needs to. But I think the key is for him maybe to be back by the end of the year in terms of playing, and then by middle of the Big Ten season, maybe he is the true Deron Davis.
Mike, obviously, Coach Miller was asked during this podcast about Romeo Langford. He's going to be asked about him every opportunity between now and the start of the season, and there obviously aren't that many to talk to Archie, as I said, coming into your interview. So it's very interesting to hear him talk about Romeo, and he said nothing outlandish. It was all, great stuff, things you would expect for anyone that's followed Romeo. I did feel like at the end of his comments on Romeo, he, mentioned other players, and he mentioned a theme of the team this year, which is togetherness. And I think it's clear that Archie obviously knows what kind of player he's got. I think that's obvious. He's had a chance to have him in these summer workouts, and I've heard good things coming out of those workouts about Romeo. So it's, clear that they know what type of player, what type of kid they have. But it also is clear to me that Archie Miller's preaching togetherness. He's preaching the team model over individual standouts.
Yeah, he's got to do that, because Romeo's going to get a tremendous amount of publicity, and that can lead to jealousness from the other players. I mean, I can remember seeing a little bit of that when Eric Gordon was at Indiana, some of the other players referring to him as God or something like that. Couldn't do anything wrong, and then you just don't want that on your team. And I think that was one of the reasons that team fell apart at the end of the year. There wasn't quite the, everybody wasn't on the same page, and I think that's why he's preaching that. I've heard good things so far, and so we'll see how, he's going to get a lot of shots. How they direct that and make sure that those are good shots will be one of the keys of the season.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. We're starting off with IU basketball today here on this September 11th edition of the Hoosier Report. Evan Fitzner, he had some really positive comments to say about him. And just, again, no one's seen the team scrimmage play, anything like that. But based on the fact he's a graduate transfer, an upperclassman, someone that comes in with experience and fills some size and shooting needs that Indiana has in its roster, I would be really surprised if he doesn't get some real opportunities right out of the gate, especially hearing what Archie had to say yesterday.
Yeah, he's a good fit, I think, for this team. A high post that can really shoot the ball, should complement both Duane Morgan down low and Deron Davis when he's back in the mix. I think that's a real good fit for this team and what he brings to the table. And plus, he's an older guy, so he's physically mature and he's been through a lot of big time games, and therefore we should be ready to be, you know, handle the new system pretty quickly and adjust and just, like I said, be a good fit because he can play up top, but yet he has the kind of body that can guard some of the bigger guys and take the pressure off Deron and Juwan Morgan.
I mentioned this, that Archie doesn't do a lot of interviews. You don't catch him on the radio airwaves on a regular basis, and some coaches call a press conference at every opportunity, and there could be some positive you could say in that. There could be some negative as well, but he obviously is a pretty reserved guy. I think most that have covered him and have gotten to watch him in action up close in Bloomington so far would agree with that. That being said, I did think, and this was probably one of the more interesting things I took from the podcast interview that he had with John Rothstein, was that he seems to be a guy that's very comfortable. Not that he's ever been nervous or out of place or rattled with any of his press conferences, even going all the way back to when Fred Glass introduced him as Indiana's new head coach. But I just got a sense yesterday that the program is going in the direction that he wants it to go. They have a real sense of plan and a real sense of organization. And he seemed maybe as comfortable as I can remember when listening to him on his weekly radio show or listening to him in a press conference. He just seemed very comfortable and very pleased where the program and where this year's team is at this point.
Yeah, I think he's gotten some of the recruits in that he had to get or was on target to land some more this year that are the kind of players you have to have. And I think he's comfortable with his system. He's a guy who keeps things simple, doesn't let a lot of little things bug you, which we've seen, I think, from prior Indiana head coaches. There's so much going on. It's kind of like being the CEO of a company, but you keep things simple like Archie does, and it makes the job a lot easier.
We're talking with Mike Pegram of Pigs.com, IU basketball, here to start this segment and wrap up our show on this Tuesday. Recruiting-wise, Armand Franklin obviously in the fold now for Indiana. There was some surprise when he committed that he did go ahead and pick Indiana over Purdue, who had long been rumored as his favorite. But it's clear that Archie Miller and the staff closed the recruiting very strong, and it's also clear that the official visit he had on campus, not just with the coaches, but with from the perspective of dealing and being around the other players, the guys currently on the team, that went well also. And I think that Armand Franklin can maybe be the first thing you can really send back to the Romeo Langford commitment. I mean, Armand even mentioned that in a couple interviews, that talking with Romeo Langford, talking with some of the other IU players, other in-state recruits he mentioned, had an impact on his commitment. And I think everybody wondered how quick and how big of an impact would Romeo have. And I think this 2019 class with Armand in the fold and a couple other big-time guys hanging out there that might very well pick Indiana down the stretch could immediately show the impact Romeo has on this program, even if he is one and done and never gets to play with Armand Franklin in that class.
Yeah, it is kind of funny how that helps guys even though they will never play with him, probably. And Armand, yeah, I think we see a little bit with possibly Trace Jackson Davis and some of these other 2019 players that haven't made decisions. I think we keep hearing that was a big deal to see Romeo make that decision and kind of show that Indiana is, you know, no matter how good you are, is a good fit for a guy who's maybe headed to making a lot of money professionally. So, yeah, it has made a big difference, and especially with these in-state players like Armand.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, our guest. I do want to catch a little football. Obviously, Indiana football gets the win. It was a close game, a crazy weather environment for Saturday's game at Memorial Stadium. Some fans, some people say, you know, not sure, it was a close game. Indiana almost gave it away. Should have won that game by more points than what they did. On the flip side of that, and I understand those concerns, but on the flip side of that, I do think there were a lot of positives to take from that game as far as some individual performances go, the offensive line stepping up, just some things that maybe weren't there or weren't as good as what you think they need to be in that first game, even despite the weather, and playing a better opponent seemed to improve from week one to week two, and I think that's all you can ask from this team is to see constant improvement as they work through the college football season. Your takeaways, your thoughts on Indiana's win over Virginia on Saturday night?
Yeah, I think you're at some good points. I think early in the season, things might not be pretty, but if you get the wins, it builds momentum and confidence in the team, and by the end of the year, they're so much better than they were at the beginning. But if you don't get those early wins, things can spiral out of control. And so they've gotten through a couple, you know, probably their two toughest non-conference games. Ball State did play Notre Dame tough, and we'll see what happens on Saturday. Weird game because the weather was so awful. And so we didn't see two quarterbacks for an obvious reason. Indiana ran the ball really well. And I think we found that they have a reliable guy who can run the ball as many as 30 times a game if the situation calls for it, and Stevie Scott, and not fumble as a point of, you know, Morgan Ellison was a really good player, but he fumbled the ball quite often, and Stevie Scott is, you know, maybe a star in the making.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. A couple things in Coach Allen's press conference on Monday. He mentioned that reserve quarterback Michael Penix, he was going to play. They had complete plans to play him in that game after he logged some good snaps in the season opening game down in Miami. But due to weather, just not very comfortable making that change. Ramsey was steady. I think he threw one interception in the game. Obviously, there wasn't a ton of passing given the weather and the wet football. But the plans there to play him, and to me, it would be hard to see a normal game where based on what Penix showed and the ability and talent I think that he has, where he doesn't get some snaps moving forward. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think we'll definitely see him on Saturday. I doubt that he'll be, you know, he'll be playing the four or less that allows him a red shirt. But you just don't know what will happen. If he gets, you know, minor injury, that could change everything. But I do expect him to play most of the year. He gives a little different dimension than Peyton. He's a little bit better runner and throws a better deep ball. But I think Peyton's played pretty well. And you know what you're going to get from him. Maybe just one or two mistakes a game. As long as the running game's going, he's a pretty good option there. But Michael Penix is a different dimension, like we just said. He has a chance, I think, to maybe someday play professionally. He's that talented, and so you want to get him as much experience as you can.
Mike, did you learn anything from Coach Allen about the trash can? That was pretty interesting to watch him boot that. I love the fact that he had the thought to go over and thank the students and the fans, because that was a hell of an environment to stick through for a full game. But the trash can, that came out of nowhere, man. He almost made an extra step over to knock that down.
Yeah, you know, I thought the students did all right for a while. I mean, given the conditions, there was a decent turnout, at least at the beginning. At some point, it wears you down. But, you know, it's too bad that the home opener had to be played in that kind of environment. But, you know, Indiana pulled it out without really a lot of fans being there against an ACC team. So that's a good confidence builder.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us Tuesdays. We talk IU basketball, of course, always. We talk IU football as well. Mike, I think you're actually headed to football availability at the campus. We'll let you get to that. Thanks so much for the opportunity to chat today.
Matt, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. We'll head to a commercial break. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Don't forget, coming up on Thursday night, we have a special preview show for Providence and Charlestown football. Should be a fabulous game on week 5 of high school football this week. We'll have the head coaches from Charlestown and Providence, Jason Hawkins, Larry Dennison, with us. We'll also have some of the top players from both teams at Zaxby's on Highway 62. It's the newest Zaxby's store in Southern Indiana. Always fun. We get the fans out from both schools. Everybody's invited to come listen in, and the program will be live right here on the Big X Sports Radio. And that'll wrap things up on this Tuesday edition of the program. Again, September 11th. Keep in memory that horrific day in American history, and again, a moment that shaped our country. Our thoughts and prayers with the families affected by that day, and again, still a proud day to be an American. It's a day that we came together, and let's hope that that continues in the future. Thanks for being with us here on this Tuesday show. That's going to wrap things up. We'll be back with you Wednesday at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.